Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Sunday edition of Housing Information You Can Trust right here for the next 3 hours. My name is Ken Carverly. I am the outside guy.
Good morning, everybody. Chuck Bridgestine, the inside guy. Happy to be with you today. It's going to be a fun show. Going to be a fun 3 hours. Going to be a fast 3 hours.
Yes, sir.
Going to be informative 3 hours.
Yes, sir. Go. Go.
I'm out of breath. But I have to tell people that I had to correct you today.
Oh, this should be good. I'll say it like you always say, oh, this should be good. Go ahead.
Well, according to my sources, only one state in the United States does not have at least one natural lake. Did I say that correctly?
Yeah.
And my sources told me it was one state and yours told you another. But you hate the state that you said, so you would make up stuff.
I don't know why
you said
that yesterday. I do not hate Ohio. I love Ohio.
You love hunting and killing.
I love hunting. I'm going to start already. I hunt in Ohio, about an hour south of that city in Ohio, the one where the Buckeyes play. Oh, we call them something else there, but... I don't. I think Ohio's a beautiful state if you
really
don't drive
is.
Down 75. I mean, here's the thing about people in Michigan. You drive down 75, there's nothing to see. It's flat everywhere. But
it's like driving a 94 across Michigan.
Exactly.
The bottom of Michigan. It looks ugly, but it's beautiful down there.
If you go down the turnpike towards Cleveland, even past Cleveland, and hit the mountains and the hills and then take that down, about an hour south of Columbus is Hocking Hills. And for people who don't know that area, they should check it out. That's where the area I've been hunting in since 2005. They just manage the deer herd better. It's beautiful down there.
That's beautiful.
And it's just as far as driving
up. The foothills of West Virginia, kind of.
Yeah, it is. The Appalachian Mountains. Yeah. Just start in that area, the mountains. But
is it Appalachian or Appalachian?
I have no idea. Don't start. So if you drive to the UP, it's the same as driving to the UP. And what's crazy, I've been going down there since 2005. Never been pulled over. I drive so calm.
I hope you didn't jinx yourself.
There are so many state police. I mean, Ohio has so many more police officers on the road, state troopers. They'd never mess with me, you know, being a Michigan. And I got to tell you, for the last couple of years, I go down to the day after the Michigan-Ohio State game. And when I drive through Columbus, I'm blasting the victors as I drive through Columbus, and I still haven't been pulled over by
them. I always worry about you just a little bit. Supposedly, Ohio does not have a natural lake.
Yeah.
And according to my sources, neither does the state of Maryland.
Now, that's crazy.
I never heard that.
You think Maryland has
exactly.
A lake. If anyone out there knows, I mean, I've always thought Ohio does not have a natural lake.
Feel free to correct Ken.
Feel free. It's what we've always heard about. Maryland, I thought was unique. It's just,
I know.
I didn't expect that.
I agree.
Hey, we're going to be taking your phone calls today at 888-654-GUYS, which equals 888-654-4897.
So are you one to buy into the use of these room air conditioners, these swamp coolers?
Not the swamp coolers, no. No, but you and I were talking earlier about the new inside units, the standalone units that need to be vented outside.
They actually have yeah.
Those are great.
I agree. I mean, they're effectively what we know as an air conditioner where they dehumidify. So many of these units, it's funny. My son was telling me about a TikTok hack,
okay.
Okay, that somebody posted that took a cheap styrofoam cooler, retrofitted a cheap fan to it.
Sure.
And a couple PVC fittings on top. And you put frozen ice in the cooler, blow air through the cooler, and what comes out of the top plumbing fittings is cold air.
Right, right.
And it sounded like a cute hack, a very creative hack. And started thinking about it. If you just put ice in the cooler, you'd be blowing humidity into the room, which we don't want.
Right. Well, that's what a lot of people do. I've seen where they take the water bottles, freeze their water bottles, and actually hang them over a fan.
Now, that makes
sense.
And
they blow over top, except it's going to increase humidity as it blows it over top.
Now the water bottle, not if it's sealed.
Well, at first, there's going to be some condensation in that when it first comes out.
Yeah, but that's humidity that's already in the air. If it's on the outside of the water bottle, it's already in the air. It's not going through the plastic.
When you take a water bottle, frozen water bottle, you bring it in outside, you put it, set it down.
And it's sealed.
It condensates.
And it's sealed.
Right. It condensates.
Right.
And it's going to condensate as you put it over the fan.
But that's humidity that's in the air already.
Oh, okay. I see what you're
saying. So you're not adding humidity.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Because when people blow it over, like down south, they've blown it over cold water or just ice. And that picks up humidity and adds humidity.
Right.
And we don't want to do that.
Right. I got you.
Yeah. So it is interesting. There are a lot of inexpensive units you can buy out there that literally you put a tray of cold water in them, and they've got a built-in fan, and it just blows. It's called a room air conditioner.
Sure.
But that's actually picking up humidity. That tray will be empty of water in a few hours of runtime.
There are still, I mean, one of the issues a lot of people have, they have the baseboard heating. You know, they have no central air, so they need to figure out a way to cool their house this time of year. And window units are expensive to run. They've always been historically expensive to run.
Yeah.
But for so long, those were the only options anybody had.
You're right. And it's interesting. Go ahead.
What I like about the standalone units, it's zone cooling. So you can actually, if you have, you vent these outside, but if you have different windows that vent, if you're going to spend, you know, I mean, a room's not hard to cool. Not a single room. So if you're going to, you know, spend the afternoon or the evening in the living room, bring in the living room, turn it on, get that room cool. At night, take it in the bedroom, turn it on, get that room cool. That's what I like about
doing the whole house.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. It's interesting because you and I were listening to a news report that all these people that are going to run their air conditioners because it's so hot are going to have higher bills this month. It's like, well, that has never ever not been the case. I mean,
if it's January, you're running your furnace more, your bill's going to be higher.
Yeah, what higher choice? Bill.
Here's the difference, though. In January, I mean, you could freeze to death. In July, you're just going to be really hot. Or August, it's going to be really warm, you know?
It is a mixed bag. I mean, and obviously your furnace is probably natural gas, so the only electricity is running the motor. Whereas you're using electricity for your air conditioner to actually run the condenser and the blower motor.
Right.
So, yeah, it is higher. And that's, of course, these smart meters allow the utility companies to turn off your air conditioner if they don't think you should be running it at this time of day. That's a whole other issue.
I still don't have one.
I don't either.
No?
Knock on Formica.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Oh, it's whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it.
You've got to be careful not to get political.
We'll leave that subject alone for now.
But anyway, we used to sleep in the basement.
Right.
When we were kids, I'm sure you did too. We couldn't afford air.
Basements. My parents didn't tell people that all the time. If you want to put a box fan atop of your stairs and bring that cool, cool air upstairs, whatever it takes.
Do that as well. You know, people are getting leaks. You mentioned yesterday one big cause of them when we have the dry weather, then the heavy rain. But we've got a company that if you need a fix, they'll prescribe one and do it for you. If you don't need it, they'll tell you that.
Oh, you know what? They're a great company. Honest, ethical, run by a veteran of the U.S. military, multiple branches
good,
of the U.S.
good
military.
People.
Great guy. And, of course, we're talking about Foundation Solutions 360.
Yeah, baby.
Enjoying yourself.
I always am. I love doing this. So we're blessed, aren't we?
We are. We are really enjoying what we're doing. We'll take any of your phone calls, any of your housing questions. 888-654-GUYS equals 888-654-4897. Phone lines are open.
Yep. Cool.
Cool.
Now, how about our article?
How about our article?
You used to be in business for yourself.
In the Detroit News Homestyle section
this
past Friday. People can read this article right now there at the DetroitNews.com. They can read it at TheInsideOutsideGuys.com and TheInsideOutsideGuys on Facebook. I'm sorry, Chuck, go ahead.
No, you got it right. Appreciate, and, you know, there are people listening for the first time that are going, what article are you guys talking about? Every Friday. But long story short, our article this past Friday was directed at contractors, at what people call gross margin or just margin or gross profit. There are several different terms applied to it. But it's the money that you spend to run the business. It's not the cost of 2x4s for the job. It's not the cost of the labor on the job. It's all the other related costs.
Those, for years, were called soft costs, correct?
Yeah, a lot of people call those soft costs.
Right,
yep.
Right, yeah.
Hard costs are typically those you can readily point to and touch and identify as we wouldn't have spent that money if we didn't do that job for Ken. So if Ken bought 20 yards of 4,000 PSI concrete for a driveway, that's a hard cost.
You can point
to it and say, that cost me this much money.
The employees on the job are a hard cost.
Are a hard cost.
Right, right.
Yep.
But involved in some of those hard costs for those employees are some soft costs work in, such as insurances, certification, education, not so much licensees, but when you're driving, there's so much liability out there as well we need to talk about.
Inefficiencies even.
And here's something that's very important for people to understand. It is very rare, I've never heard of it, Chuck, of an employee being 100% efficient. Okay? It's funny because...
None of us is. We're all humans. You aren't. I'm not.
And they're getting less and less efficient every day, I'm sorry to say. It drives me crazy when I see two people on a job site talking, and I tell them, look, if you can talk, you can work. So when they're talking and not working, those are what we're talking about not being 100% efficient.
Exactly. Yeah, and people don't – it's hard to hear that as a buyer because you're going, wait a minute, I'm paying for that. Yes, you are. You know, if a guy or gal's on the job site 8 hours, they might produce – there's statistics for this in every industry. The automotive industry tracks it, certainly. The construction industry tracks it, although it's harder. But if they're getting paid for 8 hours, maybe they're efficient. They're actually accomplishing something for 5.5 hours. Or 6 hours, and it's a moving target.
Right.
But we still have to pay them for eight.
Right.
You mentioned, and we've got a couple companies that have talked about this to us, a crew sitting in road traffic and construction traffic in a fully loaded truck worth $100,000 with tools and equipment. And
how do you budget for that, Chuck?
Exactly. How do you budget?
Right. Right. How do you budget when you have a crew set up to do four jobs in one day, and then they're on that side of town, and one job cancels an hour before they're supposed to be there.
Or they can't get there because of traffic.
Right.
You know, instead of spending what you calculated as a total of 2 hours on the road that day, they spent 3.5.
Right. And there might have been three guys in that truck or four guys in that truck.
And
think about that.
You had to pay them for 8 hours. You know, so the article talks about that. And first of all, you want a company to track those costs and to make sure they're covered when they bill you for the work they did, because that company will be around in 10 years when you want them again.
Right.
Or when you need warranty or service or whatever.
So important that people understand this.
That's the big thing. And I guarantee you, we tried to preempt that thinking the week before by talking about the price of a cup of coffee, because a lot of people stop at a drive-thru and buy coffee.
Yep.
And what we told you was, I think the average price for a cup, and I might be wrong, a small black coffee was $3.15 in the United States. And obviously there's some of us who pay a lot more than that. The actual cost of the coffee was 13 cents.
Sure. Sure.
Everything else was cup, creamer,
almost
overhead.
Like a bureaucracy.
A lot like government.
Yeah, right.
But all businesses have those costs. And when they're properly monitored and properly tracked, the business is going to be more successful.
Yeah.
And when they're not, that's the business that it's like a shooting star on the 4th of July or whatever. They're out there. They seem to be doing great. And then they're gone.
So much over the last couple of years, and here's why. When a company figures out what their margin is, if they don't adjust that margin as inflation comes and goes, as prices come and go, you said it, Chuck, here's what happens. The end of the fiscal year comes, and they go, what happened?
Yeah.
How did this happen?
We should have X dollars, and instead we have no dollars or very few dollars.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And that is the difference between – now, part of that number is what we call net profit. Every company should make a net profit.
It's not a dirty word. It's not a dirty word.
Oh.
Profit.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah. So we're going to talk more about this as we come back, because if you're a consumer and you need a job done, whether it be a basement, whether it be a roof, you name it, you want to know that you're going to get – see, a lot of people don't mind paying for a good roof as long as they know they're going to get the quality from a good company.
Right? Yeah, and the warranty and the service, you know, if there's a 40-year leak-free guarantee, then are you going to be around in 40 years to take care of that leak?
Absolutely. And you talk about soft costs. Roofing is one of the biggest ones that has those soft costs. We'll discuss that when we get back and break. This next segment, the Inside Outside Guys, is brought to you by a company you know you can trust when you need a new roof, and that's Victor's Home Solutions.
Welcome back, everybody. Appreciate you being with us. 888-654-4897. 888-654-4897. We'd love to hear from you. Questions, comments, concerns. Probably easier to talk to us on the phone during the show than it is to email us and wait for 3 days, right?
Probably, yes. Definitely easier to talk to us on the phone. Yes. Yeah. 888-654-GUYS equals 888-654-4897. Don't forget to stick around between noon and one as the Inside Outside Guys visit with our friend Jeff Weaver at Clarkson Window and Door.
What about the companies that say, you know what, if you buy from us, you eliminate the middleman and save all that money? Do you ever eliminate the middleman entirely?
No.
You don't.
No.
Somebody make that claim. But if it's a referral that's a business referral, ours or not, what you're getting from us is literally free, right?
Right.
But if it's a business referral, there's money in it. They're getting paid.
Attorneys are famous for that.
Yeah.
If an attorney refers you to another attorney,
yeah,
usually there's a percentage they're going to get of whatever.
Or
it is.
Buy your own roofing, you know, hire your own contractor, take out your own permits.
Yeah, right.
You can eliminate the middleman and all that overhead.
Oh, there you go. I got
you.
Well,
no, you're not. If you're hiring any roofer, then they should have that overhead and stuff in there.
100%.
I mean, 100%. Exactly. The only difference is you take on a lot more responsibility. Why would you do that?
People don't understand that. We've had this email. We get this a couple of times a year. I have a contractor that wants me to pull the permit. No. No, 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 no. For any reason. And most cities, Chuck, what I remember, they have a policy that they won't let that happen. I know you say it's legal, but I know that I have had cities that have told me homeowners can't pull those if they know a contractor's working
on the job. A specific permit?
Yeah. It's a contractor working on the job, but the homeowner's pulling the permit.
Yeah.
No, they're not allowed to do that. But it's actually now, unfortunately, it's a strategy for some roofing companies out there where they'll come in at a really inexpensive price and then tell you to pull the permit. And people are doing it because all they see is the price. But the responsibility for that specific roofing company is gone. If there's an issue, let's say they put a GAF on your roof. You pull the permit, something goes wrong in 3 years, you deal with GAF. You have to deal with GAF, not the company that put the roof on.
That's the manufacturer of the shingle.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. So, like you've always said, you want a first-person warranty.
You and I are so big on that. And we're consumers. We have houses. We have to buy water heaters and furnaces and all that stuff.
Right.
Right?
Right. Right. We get it. Hey, we're going to keep this conversation up, but in the meantime, we're going to take a couple phone calls. Let's talk to Tony in the beautiful city of Clarkston, Michigan. Good morning, Tony. You're on with the guys.
Yeah, good morning. So I have a radon detection unit in my basement, and, you know, it's over the sub pump, and they've got like a sealed glass, well, not glass, but plastic plate see-through. I never see any water in my sub pump. I don't really have a way to test it because it's sealed. Just wondering, do I need to do anything?
Well, you mentioned you have a radar detection unit in there.
Radon.
Radon, I'm sorry. Does it ever go off?
Well, I'm sorry. It's not a detection. You know, it's the unit that makes...
Oh,
you know,
Yeah. I gotcha. It's a mitigation unit that gets the radon out of there.
Yes.
Okay.
That's it.
No, Chuck, I don't think you have any worries at all. I love the fact of my...
If there's no water, that's great. Now, if there's no water, there might be air, and the air could bring radon in. But if you've got a remediation unit, you probably have a low-voltage fan or something that's exhausting that.
PVC?
Yes.
No worries.
And that, I'm sure that runs, but you probably don't hear it.
Right.
It's probably a DC-operated
inline.
Go ahead.
Yeah, there's a way to to make sure there's a way to make sure it's running. I'm just worried that if, like, I don't know if my sump pump is would even work if I did get water in there, because I can't test it because, you know, it's sealed.
Sure, you can.
Sealed shut that area.
I guarantee you, if it's sealed, it can be unsealed. And those sealed units are
okay.
Not. I mean, if you're comfortable doing it, not everyone would be. You could dump a 10-gallon bucket of water in there to test the pump itself.
Me too, 5-gallon, 10-gallon. It's heavy, Chuck. It's
really I'd say I could have said he could. He sounds bigger than me. But,
okay.
If, I got to tell you, Tony, though, if it was mine and I don't get any water down there at all, I wouldn't mess with it. I'd leave it alone. I really wouldn't.
I know.
I mean, because that is, that's.
All right, well, that's what I've done so far. And okay, yeah, I haven't, I have, that's what I kind of want to do, and that's what I've done so far. So that's kind of what I wanted to hear.
And thank whoever you pray to that you don't have a lot of water there.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Tony.
Yeah, no, I know. Thank you very much. You guys have a great day.
You too.
God bless you.
And I go back to where I lived in Waterford, which is right when I, in the early 90s. Which is right next to Clarkston. And I tell people, our houses were so close. And the neighbor next door, their sump pump ran constantly. And I bet our sump pump was probably 50 feet away from theirs. Never, ever, ever ran.
I know. I don't know, was it last week? We got the heavy rain. I talked to some people that actually had lost power and their basements had 4 inches of water almost immediately.
Right.
And, of course, I look at my sump, and I listen for it, and we just had a tiny little trickle the whole time.
I don't think mine went off. Yeah. I got such a good grade at my house.
But keep an eye on it, and I respect that Tony's keeping an eye on it.
Agree. Hey, let's talk to Paul in Monroe next. Paul, good morning. You're on with the guys.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'm in Monroe. I have a well, and I'm interested in installing a constant pressure system. Preferably one of the higher-end ones, the variable frequency drives.
Yeah.
Any advice?
Not really. I mean, the constant pressure system makes all the sense in the world. It's actually better for the well pump. You have a submersible pump, I assume, a good high-quality.
Yes.
Submersible pump. If you talk to Brad from Advanced...
Yeah, he's right out in that area.
He has done a great job for our listeners in the past, and we can give you a phone number. But
sure.
I would listen to his input on that. And we've also got a resource, a guy named Dan Milan we've referred to that's a statewide recognized resource for wells and septics. But if you talk to Brad first, that's what he does for a living, so he could probably do it for you. I think you'll be in great shape. I love the idea.
Would that work well for water in the yard too, and not burning a pump out?
I mean, if you're using the same well for that, I would draw off that certainly. Yeah, of course. Yeah, and the idea that he's talking about for the rest of the listeners here is that you bring water in under pressure when you don't even need it, and it's maintained under pressure such that when you do need it, the pump isn't always firing up every time a faucet's turned on or a point of use is utilized, like a kitchen, you know, faucet and sink or something. That makes sense.
Plus, you don't have the variable pressure because there's a 20.
Well, no, it should be
20 psi variance.
Yep. If it's
I can set it at a high.
Yep. Go ahead. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Awesome.
Yep, makes sense.
Yeah, if you have his number, I'd like to give Brad a call.
We do. You got a pen handy?
Yes.
Okay.
810-231-2332.
810-231-2332. Yep. All righty. Thank you very much.
He knows us. Just feel free to be a name dropper. Tell him Ken told him to call.
Okay.
Call.
Appreciate it, Paul. Have a great day, bud. All right. Let's see. I think we got time for Bob from Lansing. Good morning, Bob. You're on with the guys.
Good morning. Thank you. I'm actually in St. John's, just north of Lansing. So we're in the roofing thing sparked my interest. So we're in a condominium association getting ready to do some roofs. hard costs, soft costs. The roofer that we're probably going to choose, very reputable in that area, he's about five blocks away. So when I go in to negotiate some more cost savings, I can bring that up to him that his guys are going to jump in a truck. They're five blocks away. They're not wasting time driving. And then the other quick question was, when they're trying to sell the 50-year warranty, is that worth my time listening to that or not?
I would, and when you say they're selling it, good companies, a lot of times, are building that right into the cost structure anymore.
Okay.
Because a manufacturer with a good company is behind that and partially funding it. So like a Kearns Brothers or Victor's or Pro, the list goes on for our, that's one of the things we look at with our guys, if you will. When you're negotiating, and we mentioned this in the article, the only place that a company can really cut is in what we call their net profit goal. And if I know that I can come into your condo development and do 50 roofs, right, I'm gonna assign the crew there. They're going to be there for a month and a half. It's all the same shingle. It's all the same basic substrate and issues. The buildings are similar, yada, yada, yada. Then I'm often willing to negotiate a little bit on that net profit side because you're right. I should be able to make up for it in other cost categories that I don't want to mess with on an individual bid. I'm not gonna go into those 300 cost categories and shave them for you because you're close.
Well, let's say a company does 100 roofs in a year all over Southeast Michigan, or they can do 100 roofs in a certain subdivision. They're going to save a lot of money by going into that subdivision, and that's money they can savings they can pass.
So then they can negotiate.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So I would.
All right. So that's something I can mention and go. And then HOA, so management companies, yay or nay, up or down, because we're self-managed right now, and it's a pain in my rear because I'm doing it. So you hire a company to come in. They take 10% off the top and yada. So what do I do?
Hey, Bob, let us talk about that on the air when we get back from break, okay?
We can actually refer a good management company or two to you to explore.
All right.
Yep.
Good deal.
Okay, thank you. And then we're going to talk to Philip from Shelby when we get back as well. So in the meantime, Chuck, stand by water on demand. Stand by water units. People like them? Yay, nay?
You know, if you talk to the folks at a company like Shelby Mechanical, you will be sold on a demand water system like Rinnai because they have been installing them for as long as I think they've been popular in the market.
Yeah, they install them almost probably every day, all the time. That's why they can offer the top-notch warranty. Shelby Mechanical is a fantastic company. They take great care of our listeners. This next segment is sponsored by Shelby Mechanical.
Welcome back, everybody. Appreciate you being with us. 888-654-GUYS, which is 4897.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Bob from Lansing is still with us or not, but he asked about
management. Yep, I'm still here. Yep.
Okay, Bob. You know what, Bob? I mean, if you're the president, we feel for you. I've dealt with so many management companies over the years.
Oh.
And, the problem with on my end is going into a place like yours where I go in and
you mean as a contractor?
As a contractor. I go in and I'd say I'd do some brickwork on one unit. Everybody else would be coming over and saying, when are you going to do mine? And then you got the property management company coming over and going, are you going to do this? And then you have the president coming over and going, are you going to do this? So as long as if you decide to use a property management company, it's so important you get one that you trust. And North Bloomfield Properties has been with us for so long, and they're a great management company.
That's all they do.
Nothing but good things about them. And, I think they're definitely worth making a phone call to.
Here's what a company like that will do. You can buy a full range of services, and it's kind of menu-driven. But if you want property maintenance only, companies will do that for a fee. If you need a pro forma written for the entire property, they will do that.
There's where you want to negotiate.
For financing. Let's say you guys are going to the bank to finance those new roofs that you're putting on all those buildings. They would write a pro forma and a proposal for that. Literally, you have to kind of decide what you want from them. And then, when you're talking to them, see what works best for you in terms of fit and finish, but they're a good company.
Fantastic, because it, like you say, it is. People think they're living in an apartment until they go to sell it, right? Then they get the money. But I'm getting phone calls, you know, this needs to be fixed, this needs to be fixed, and it's the whole
bless your
confusion
heart.
Inside, outside, you know, from the drywall in, from the drywall out, and what's covered, what's not.
Okay.
And then they write the manual. It takes a Philadelphia lawyer to figure out the HOA manual, you know, of what's
covered.
Yeah,
I used to read those and teach them, so I get it.
I do. I'm just shaking my head. Yeah. You know what? And I'm sure you're getting paid to do this position, right? Just kidding, Bob. Just kidding.
Yeah, you're making a fortune,
well, hopefully
Bob.
Hopefully someday. Someday when I'm at the pearly gates, I don't know if that's going to count.
Your retirement job will be with a North Bloomfield property company.
There you go. Bob, thank you so much.
Exactly.
We appreciate your phone calls.
All right. Fantastic. Thank you.
Good luck.
Take care.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye. You know, and I would suggest, you know, even though you have a company that is just 5 miles away, get a bid from someone like Kearns. They work in the area all the time.
Victor, oh, yeah. So
get a bid because you may find a company that's further away may give you a better price. They may have better margins. You just don't know.
Well, part of the reason we talked or wrote that article, maybe a Kearns Brothers or a Victor, let's say Victor's with the hundreds of roofs they're going to do, thousands in a year. They may buy a lot better from the manufacturer.
Right.
You know,
right.
So they may come in and be a little cheaper, and you're going, how could they be cheaper? They're huge. They have this 50-year leak-free warranty. But it's because they're managing their internal costs better than another company.
Yep. Yep. Makes perfect sense. Let's stick with the phones. 888-654-4897. Let's talk to Philip in Shelby. Good morning, Philip. You're on with the guys.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
You're
got
welcome.
A problem, and you gave me a recommendation about 6 months ago, but didn't pan out. What I'm looking for is somebody that can clean and seal copper. I have a bay window on the second floor that has a copper canopy over it, and it has turned almost black in 50% of it. And I'm past the age of getting up on the ladder and doing it myself.
I get that. You might try a company that a copper slate company that we've got a number for here. If you'd like to write this down and give them a call.
Yes. What is it?
It is 586-949-4777.
I thank you. I will give them a call and see if they can help me with my problem. And I appreciate you being on the air. I've received many compliments on how you handle customers and give recommendations. So, again, kudos to you and your buddy. Thank you very much.
God bless you. We really appreciate hearing that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We greatly appreciate your call. Well, we got another hour coming up. Another 2 hours.
Yeah, I was going to say, where are you going with that?
As between noon and 1, the guys visit with Jeff Weaver and Clarkson Window and Door. And, boy, he's got a great product, doesn't he, Chuck? Those North Star windows.
He really, really does. Yeah, it's an awesome product.
We've heard his competitors compliment that window.
Yeah.
It is such a good window.
Well, and when you hear him talk about the manufacturing process, which you will today, we'll get him talking about that, right?
Right, absolutely. And the warranties, you know, we heard something years ago that someone said you can't warranty something longer than you've been in business. Now, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but if that's the truth, Clarkson Windows and Doors has, what, about a 40-year probably warranty?
Just a good history.
Because Jeff started off with his father and has kept it going and has turned that company into a great success. And you talk about someone that knows the numbers. What I love about Clarkson Window and Door is you walk into their house or into their office, and there's Jeff Weaver's office. The minute you walk in, you see him. We're going to talk
hands
to him.
Hands on, man. High touch.
Yep, and we're going to talk to Jeff Weaver between noon and 1 today.
You know, we talk about well-run companies that understand running the business. And that seems to be the case with brick and masonry and concrete company that we found here a couple of years back.
Yeah, you know, we really want to stress to people, so many people will... issues in their house. Okay, they look up at their chimney and they see a broken brick or a piece of masonry cap falling off, or they walk up to their porch and they see brick pushing out their porch, and they leave it alone. It is never if you leave one brick alone, it's only going to get worse and cost you more money. And if you call a company like Brickworks Property Restoration for that one brick, now let me warn everyone, they're going to have a minimum charge. They can't send a crew out for one brick. But I guarantee what that minimum charge is will be less than it's going to cost you if you leave it alone.
And it's like you said, if you see one brick that's delaminated or fallen out or become loose, there's other problems around that brick. It's not one brick like a pimple on your cheekbone or something.
You're right. And also, if it's a chimney, the damage it could cause inside the house.
Scary.
And that damage will start before you even see it. So much of it will start behind the walls, the mold, the moisture, the insulation, any wood it may get to back there, behind flashing. So that's why it's so important if you need masonry or concrete work that you hire a company. And Brickworks been around for a long time. One thing that they will do when they're done with that masonry work is they will put a sealer over top of that brickwork that help protect it as well. So if you need masonry done, if you need concrete work done, make sure you call Brickworks Property Restoration.
Blessed to be here, aren't we?
We are. We're having a great time, and we'll be taking your phone calls for the next hour at 888-654-GUYS, which equals 888-654-4897. We've been discussing the article that was written in the Detroit News Home Sales section, just published this past Friday. And what we're trying to do by having this discussion and by publishing this article is to get homeowners and to get people to understand, why something is so expensive. So many people, they'll get a price and it'll just blow them away. But they don't understand the true costs in a job. So many of the costs, Chuck, you said earlier, so many of the costs I'm putting on a roof are hidden. That
yeah,
the
if you don't run a business, how can you know? We mentioned in the article that if an employee costs you, let's say $10 an hour in pay, that's what you're paying them. I'm just using that because it's an easy number mathematically.
Sure.
They may easily be costing you three times that or more when you add in all the insurances, the benefit package, the inefficiencies in the job site, the training, all the things we talked about earlier.
Right.
So let's say that $10 an hour employee costs you $30 an hour, and you better know this one way or another, then they've got to make you $40 to $50 an hour.
Right.
Because your company needs to offset those other costs and still be profitable. So we need people to understand it, and we need contractors to understand it.
Well, that's part of this.
Yeah.
And that's part of this as well, because a company that does not know its numbers will not last. And
no.
You mentioned the five-year mark. The five-year mark is so important. If you make it past 5 years, you're usually doing something right.
Yeah.
As long as all the books, look good at that point. But I'll use me as an example. Years ago, for years, I did everything myself and a couple guys. That's all I did. I'd go out, do the job. They'd work with me, usually be the laborers. And then one day I decided I wanted to get bigger. I wanted my company to get bigger.
You're basically working for wages at that point.
Yeah, but I made a good living. I
sure
had five kids. I was able to put them in a good school, a good house. They made a good living, but I think at the time I was in my early 30s, and I really started to feel the work I was doing, for the last 15 years at that point. And I decided I wanted to get bigger. So I went out and I got a loan, and I got an office. And what I did not do is my numbers first. And we're telling this for, let's say you're a mom and dad out there, and your son's talking about starting his own business. This is so important, because I don't know what, at one point in my career, Chuck, I was a brick mason. I was a concrete mason. I was a business owner. And then I became a salesman. Where somewhere between there, I stopped being on the job most of the time.
Yeah.
And I just sold. And if I didn't sell for those right margins in my business, in construction business, when winter came, that's when you felt it. It was like, oh, no. And I remember in the early 2000s, the end of the year coming, and I was in major debt. I was in major debt.
Well, that's why I say you were working for wages only. You weren't building a business.
Right, right, right. Yeah. And the next year, during that summer, we figured it out. And by the next year later, everything was fine, got it all caught up. And it's funny because so many guys on this end, if you tell them you got to sell to this price, they go, are you kidding me? No one's ever going to buy that.
Yeah.
But you said it. People will buy it.
I had that happen in seminars where we would be doing a seminar on, you know, what the article was about. And it's a full day or three, right? And these people are paying to be there. And let's say I'm in St. Louis, Missouri. And I say, you should charge this after we do the math and figure out, you know. And you get a guy in the back of the room, raise his hand. You can't charge that in St. Louis. I've been here 30 years. Can't do it.
Yep.
And then I would just pause and stop because sure as heck, you'd have five other guys in the room raise their hand and go, I've been here 40 years, same market, and I am charging that much money and getting it every day.
Yes, yes.
You right. didn't even have to convince them. They'd convince each other, you know.
And that's where the networking is so important in this business. Guys, huge. One of the issues that guys have in this business is they don't want to talk to other guys in the business because they see them as their competition slash enemy, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And I talked about Brett Butler from A1 Concrete Leveling for years, who was my competition. But when we met, we instantly became friends, and we did so much business together. We both, it was a benefit because we referred each other back and forth on a regular basis. So be open-minded out there if you're a contractor to speak to other contractors. Always something to learn.
That's what the home builders do.
Right, right, exactly.
Perfect. And that's one of the reasons you and I, with the help of Michael Pierce, salesperson extraordinaire, did that networking event. When did we do that? Winter?
April?
Spring?
No, it was in April. And then we'll be having another one coming up in fall as well.
Yeah. So that these people can interact because there's enough business to go around.
Oh, gosh.
There will never, you'll never run out of business in our industry.
I agree. Houses are not getting any younger.
No, sir.
Hey, let's go to the phones. 888-654-GUYS equals 888-654-4897. Let's talk to Matthew in Canton. Good morning, Matthew. You're around with the guys.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Great guy. How you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. All right, so quick question here. I hope it makes sense. On last night, now, the end of the hose, I have a nozzle on it. Is that going to still reflect in my water bill or the fact that I have the nozzle on and the water's not running out of the hose? How does that work? Does that make sense?
Okay, so your hose bib was turned on, but no water was leaking.
Correct.
Is that right? Yeah, you're not going to feel that one bit.
Not one bit.
Nope.
Oh, really? Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah, they monitor your water usage, and that's how your sewers actually build because it's assumptive that water's going in the sewer as well. But as long as no water is actually being utilized, then you're not paying any money for it.
All right. Fantastic. Yeah, I was worried about that next water bill. So that's a big relief. I appreciate it.
Okay. God bless you.
Thank you.
We appreciate you. Stay in touch.
So next time the kids leave that on, no matter what time of year it is, the punishment, they have to sit under the hose outside for 1 minute as you soak them.
And have water drip on them, their foreheads.
Even it, yeah.
Chinese torture.
Thanks, Matthew. We appreciate the call. That's a good question.
That is a good question.
I looked this up, and the average price in the United States for 1,000 gallons of water is $1.50. That's the average price.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it really is.
We are truly, and that's potable water. That's water. There may be some stuff in it, like we talk about with Beauchamp. There may be minerals in it. There may be PFAS. But the truth is, compared to other countries in the world, that's potable water.
I agree.
But it is, you know, good for people to keep in mind. If you're watering your lawn with city water,
there you go.
Your sewer bill is raised because they assume that water went down the sewer, even though it didn't.
Right.
We'll get people that will have a separate well drilled just for their water, for their lawn or their garden that they've got or whatever.
Right.
And they're not going to pay a surcharge on their sewer for that water usage.
And then you get the question of someone who well water may be tied into sprinklers, and that part isn't treated or softened at all, so it gets everything rusty as can be. We'll continue taking your phone calls after the break. Phone lines are open, 888-654-4897. 4897.
You know, a lot of homeowners want to price at least three contractors. They want a good, better, best from them. And not every contractor can do that. But we've got a company that can make your house beautiful again, like the day it was built. And they can give you a good, better, best pricing on product and process. And, of course, that company is Performance Remodeling. Welcome back, everybody. Appreciate you being with us. We've got another roughly, 40 minutes where we would love to take your calls. And then we're going to sprint over to Clarkson Window and Door, right?
Yep. Speak to Jeff Weaver between the noon and 1 hour. No one has answered our question. I think you got false information to start the show with that. Maryland does not have a natural lake. It's the only state in the union that says they do not have a natural lake.
And you
lake.
Think it's Ohio.
That's for years. I mean, I drive through Ohio. For years, I thought it was Ohio. I don't think Ohio, besides Lake Erie, of course.
So you consider yourself a bit of a natural lake?
No, I just...
Genius.
Stuff I've heard over the years. Genius. No, I don't, not anything. No,
genius.
That name does not get attached to my bio. I'll tell you that. 888-654-GUYS equals 888-654-4897. Taking your housing questions. Phone lines are open.
We have more fun than we should. There's a new trend you might hear about called Swedish death cleaning. D-E-A-T-H, death cleaning.
Have that you heard sounds that? Something you can threaten your kids with.
Well, actually,
if you don't get this done by the time we get home, we're going to have a Swedish death cleaning. We'll see how you like that.
Indirectly, you could. I like the way you think, although it's a little frightening. Quite honest. But it is tied to when I pass away.
Okay.
And you have to come in and get rid of all my stuff. Think about that. So what they advise people like you and me to do, and thus our listeners, maybe, is start getting rid of stuff already that you don't need.
Mom, are you listening?
That people will throw away. You know, we had to go through that with Mom a few months ago.
Yeah.
And to her credit, she had given away things of value, like Christmas gifts. Yeah. You know, she split her jewelry up among the girls.
Before she passed away.
5 years ago, before she passed. And it was her choice then, who got this ring or who got that necklace.
Sure.
It's a crazy title, Swedish death cleaning, but the idea is to get rid of valuables that you want dispersed to people that you would like to have them anyway.
Gotcha.
You know, and we all have drawers and closets full of stuff, don't we?
I was at my mother's house this week with my two grandchildren and my bride, and I went over there to do some work on her porch, and her husband, my stepfather, just passed away a few weeks ago, and he's got a full garage, a full basement.
Yeah.
An overflowing shed.
Tools.
Yeah. And Mom's taking
You and I will both be that person.
And God bless his son. He doesn't need any. He's like us. He's got all the tools he ever needs.
That's kind of where my kids are at. It's like they've got everything they need, furniture-wise.
So there will be a, I don't know what you're going to call it, there will be a mass
wholesale garage cleaning, dumpster dive, whatever.
There will be. Oh, without a doubt, there will be in the future. And actually, I've spoke to my siblings about this, a couple of them. That maybe at her birthday, which is in early September, we all show up there, get a dumpster delivered. We all show up there while she's there because the last thing we want to do is stress Mom out.
Yeah.
So I want her to be able to point. And she says no, I'll go, okay.
You know, my brother and I sat with Mom 2 years ago and kind of did that with her closets.
Yep.
While she was there. We didn't.
I love it.
We just, whatever she told us is what we did. So it wasn't, Mom, you need to get rid of this. It was, do you want to keep it? Yes. Do you want to get rid of it? Yes. And then we and that was a good way to do it because we had fun, we laughed, really, you know.
Right.
And Mom was there.
Right. And Mom didn't feel threatened at all. No. She didn't feel like you were trying to get rid of her stuff.
We truly weren't.
Right.
We, you know, whatever she said keep, we instantly, you know, put back, you know. And
even if you thought I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Even if you thought that she should have gotten rid of it, you're not going to disrespect your mom or even take a chance of causing your mom stress. It's like, here's how I would look at it. If I went to Mom's house and we got rid of 30% of the stuff or 40% of the stuff, I'd be happy.
Yeah.
If that means some of the stuff doesn't go until after Mom's gone, then that's what it is.
So be it.
So be it.
Yeah.
But we have to take, I mean, you took such great care of your mom, Chuck. All your siblings took such great care of your mom before she passed. And now that my mom is alone, now my mom used to be alone. My mom was alone for 25 years before she got married. we'll be going over there a lot more. And we have to take care of our parents.
Yeah, and if you're listening and you're our age, then maybe you should start, you know, divesting yourself of some of this stuff, because we are all stuff accumulators.
You say our age. You're a little bit older. I'm nowhere near ready for a Swedish death queen, pal.
I don't know. You might need it more than me. Hey, okay. Nobody needs to get rid of their deck. They might need to improve it. They might need to build a beautiful new one. They might need safety lighting and ambient lighting installed.
And prices have gone down so much on lumber and composite decking. Don't be afraid to go out and get a quote for a new deck. It'll be less than you thought, and they even have great financing options.
They do. And we love, if you're going to have it done right one time by Decks Unlimited. Welcome back, everybody. Appreciate you being with us. We've only got, a half hour for more phone calls. Then you got to wait till next Saturday.
888-654-GUYS equals 888-654-4897. Chuck, do you know where the phrase light a fire under someone came from?
Boy, this could be a double-edged sword, couldn't it?
It could be, but it's not. In the late 1800s, there was a bill passed in England House to stop children from being chimney sweeps because they were used to basically enslave.
Yes, they were.
As chimney sweeps, young boys.
They
would lower them down into the chimneys. And this is where, after this happened, this is where a pandemic of cancer started, because they would lower them down to the chimneys, and these boys would have to scrape off the soot from the flue tiles.
They didn't have the advanced masks to filter
respirators,
the air,
anything like that. There was nothing. So they would do this just to be in a place to sleep and eat. That's what they worked for. And so once they went down the chimney, if the boy was having a hard time getting up the chimney, he couldn't get back up, what would they do? They'd light a fire under him. They would literally light a fire, a small fire, in the fireplace for that boy to get out of that chimney faster. That's where that term, light a fire under, came from.
That's back when things were so efficient. You know, flues were huge. I mean, you could actually lower a small body into most of them. You know, today, thank God, we don't have that issue, right?
Right, right.
Isn't that scary when you think about it?
You know, it's all that kind of stuff.
It's like you knew it, but you just don't think about it.
You're right. Yeah, you have no choice. Today, jeepers, in modern days, most chimneys are clean from the inside. They don't even go from the top. They go from the inside.
I know, isn't that funny?
It is. It is.
And that still should be done, though.
Oh, I agree. But if you get a wrong company out there to do it, it could be disastrous for a homeowner. And anyone that does clean your chimney, and I mean, it's middle of summer, but winter's going to be coming soon. I have some pictures I'm going to post on Facebook, Chuck, of, you remember me telling you years ago when I pulled a wood burner out of somebody's fireplace that it was not piped at all. So basically, a wood burner was just shoved back into an opening, a fire box, and they burnt fires in it. So over time,
where'd the smoke all go?
Well, smoke went up and out, but what I'm saying, the regular flue. They didn't line the flue.
Oh, okay. So it did go into a chimney.
It went into the chimney, okay. Yes, but the soot and everything came and literally rested on top. And I pulled it out after years, and there was feet of fuel, soot, on top of this firebox. And I saw something recently of someone who did the same thing.
Scary.
And they had a chunk of solid creosote, probably 2 feet by 2 feet by 8 inches thick, which probably, to be honest with you, never went out. Once it started, it probably burnt back there forever.
It would.
Forever.
Yeah.
Dangerous as can be. Very careful.
So, wait a minute. It went into a chimney, but you said they didn't put it into a pipe. What should they have done and why?
When they do what's called a chimney insert now, they will take what looks like a wood stove, but it's shaped in the back to fit perfectly into an existing firebox, which is a chimney opening. Once that goes in there, they're supposed to feed pipe down to be connected to the top of that firebox. So any smoke or soot or anything stays contained in that pipe and goes out. So when it comes time to clean, all they got to clean is the pipe. You have to do it that way.
You have to lower the volume because it's more efficient,
right,
too.
Right.
It won't go up. It'll lose its heat in a great big space. And that's why that particulate falls back down, because it's not exhausting properly, because it's producing a smaller volume, so you better have a smaller volume for it to exhaust through.
I got to tell you, though, inserts, I love them. I remember years ago we were talking, I'm talking probably when we first started the show, some 15 years ago, I made a comment about a regular masonry firebox is the least efficient way you can find to heat your house. It's very inefficient. If you're heating a room, that's different. But most of that heat, when you have a fire in your fireplace, 80% of the heat's going up and out the chimney.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So, and then we had someone call us from a fireplace company and said he can fix that. And he was right. The what they offered, these big metal inserts, they had big, beautiful glass doors on them.
Sealed glass, yeah.
And heliators on the bottom. So they take that heat that's being produced by that cast iron monstrosity, and they're blowing it back into the room.
Yeah.
And it worked extremely efficient.
We saw a lot of those.
Yeah, extremely efficient.
But they had to be, if you will, exhausted into the properly sized chimney.
Absolutely.
And that's why if you get one of those units installed, it better include the cost of putting a liner in the chimney to fit the specification of the heliator unit or wood burner you're installing.
Because what will happen at that point is you'll get backdraft. If it's not going to take it, you...
Well, you get what you described, where that soot will fall back down, all that particulate, it right. won't exhaust.
It'll fall right back into the unit is what yeah. you're going to do. At least you'll be able to get it out of there. But
start
you're right.
a fire.
You're right. That's why it's so important. You don't just go on, you don't go online and you buy one of these things. You get professionals to come out and install these things, because 15,000 to 17,000 fires, chimney fires a year, and one of the most difficult fires to put out is a chimney fire.
Now, we just got a text from someone who's tried calling the show and says no one is answering. I hope that's not the case, but
888-654-GUYS equals 888-654-4897.
Now, the other 800 number...
800-859-0957.
Good job. Isn't that funny how you just, yeah...
Draw a blank.
Yeah, 57. 859? 800-859-0957?
0WJR.
Cool. Exactly. Yep. So if you want to make a call, feel free to do so. We'd love to hear from you.
Yep. Yeah. This was a time of year, Chuck, because I heated my last house before I had this one. I heated that house with nothing but wood.
I remember that.
The first year, it was a propane. We had propane heat in the first year.
Propane was your supplement.
Well, not at first.
No.
It was Maine, yeah. right? And the first year, I remember it cost us like $3,500 with five kids going in and out of this long ranch to heat this house, which was with propane.
A lot of money.
Which was outrageous. That was in 2008 when the prices were
and that's for high. Roughly a four-month heating season, five-month right. max.
Yes. So I went out and bought a furnace wood heater that was plumbed right into my existing ductwork. And we heated our whole house from that point forward with wood. Now, luckily at the time, I had two young sons that every year that helped me literally load a room full of wood. And I absolutely loved it. It gave me a good workout and saved. It paid for itself the first year.
You had land.
I had land.
Deadwood on it.
A lot of dead. That was right in the middle of the Emerald Ash Borer. So I had so many dead ash trees out there. So many dead.
Do you remember seeing the people would do analogies, you know, and create the true cost of getting your own wood and stocking it. And and if you weren't set up like you were, you know, here's the cost of a pickup or a trailer because you don't have either, chainsaws, protective gear, you know, then the wood if you got to go buy it.
I had four different chainsaws. I had a wood splitter.
You had all that stuff.
I had a Bobcat. Trucks, I had trailers because people. Of my business. I had sons. I had all that stuff. And I was able every winter to, and we had a window that we were able just to, we kind of set up like a conveyor line where just throw it down, stack it.
I mean, you had it like the houses used to have coal chutes.
Right, exactly.
Where a truck could back up and dump coal into a bin in the basement.
There's a spot by me because I need to buy some wood now. I don't live on that property, so I don't have the access to the trees that I did. But there's a guy from me not far that has three. It's in a trailer. It's a dump trailer. I drive by it all the time. 3.5 face cords for $300.
Okay.
Which is about $80 a face cord, which has been that way for a long time. That's still a very good price for a face cord.
Is it?
Yeah.
Of good seasoned hardwood.
Of good seasoned hardwood. Very important. Very
yeah.
Important.
Yep. Yeah. We'll be talking about that, of course, as we go into fall because people need to know it. Gotcha. How many people do you think today?
Do you mind if we take a phone call real quick, buddy?
No, not at all. Time.
Let's talk to Lorraine and Taylor. Good morning, Lorraine. You're on with the guys.
Good morning. My issue is, I'm wondering, is there a standard code for bathrooms or electrical boxes? Basically, what happened is I purchased this home, and it was inspected. But then I had a couple guys come in to do some work for me, and they noticed that the main circuit breaker box for the bathroom downstairs is in the the main circuit box is in the bathroom downstairs. And they said, you can't have that. I have a tub, shower, toilet, and sink, and that main circuit box is in there.
Too much humidity.
Yeah, and you shouldn't be able to stand in water and come close to touching, you know, that box. So, yes, there are codes for that. There are minimum distances for that, what we call isolation distances, just like the outlets in a kitchen have to be protected by ground fault circuit interrupters if they're within 6 feet. Well, anymore, they all have to be protected. But it used to be if you were within 6 feet of possibly having your hand in a sink.
My breaker box right above my sump pump.
Yeah, well.
So did they give you a price to remove it?
Well, I mean, there were several different suggestions. One being, you know, get rid of the whole bath. I don't really need it in the basement. It could be a selling feature, but I don't need it. I'm a single person. I have a bath and a half upstairs. I don't need it in the basement. So they said, a couple people said, it's not a modern, you know, it's not an updated bathroom. So get rid of the bathroom completely, or just take the tub out, the tub and shower out, or have the electrical box moved. And we already talked about that. DTE says it's like $900 to come out, put the lines down the pole, underground, back to the house, and then move the box down to the end of the house. So my option so far is to get rid of the whole bathroom.
Yeah, I mean, if it isn't an issue and you don't use the bathroom, you could disable the water to the bathroom, don't use the bathroom, and just leave it alone.
But for $900.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you. That sounds like a good price.
Yeah, that sounds like a very good price. I'd rather keep the bathroom and do that.
But you have money coming out of your pockets, you know. You walk around.
Yeah, it's just falling out, right, yeah. Huh?
Okay, well, I just wondered about the coating because, you know, I asked a couple different people. I said, well, they weren't sure what it was. I mean, I know for sure you're not supposed to. They said the moisture, the problem being the moisture from the tub shower thing is going to rust out the electrical box.
Yeah, the humidity is a main issue.
Yeah, it could cause a lot of problems.
So get rid of the bathroom or move the box. We appreciate your call. We're going to talk to Al from Sterling Heights when we get back from break. Thank you very much, Lorraine. We appreciate your call.
You know, you and I talk about rain. We talk about water. We talk about the effects of water on foundations and brick.
And you know what? A cracked foundation, like anything else, if you've got a step crack in your foundation, if you've got step cracks on your brick, certain doors aren't shutting right, certain windows aren't shutting right, chances are you have a foundation issue. And to get that foundation issue repaired once and for all with a lifetime warranty, you need to contact Foundation Authority.
Welcome back, everybody. I want to remind you, from 12 to 1, we are going to be talking with Jeff Weaver from Clarkston Window and Door. That'll be a fun hour.
Yes, it will. In the meantime, we got one more segment to take your phone calls, 888-654-GUYS equals 888-654-4897. Let's talk to Al in Sterling Heights. Good morning, Al. You're on with the Inside Outside Guys on WJR.
Good morning, guys. After being without power for a day and a half, I'm thinking of putting an external circuit outside to hook up a portable generator. And I know it's going to require an electrician to do the job. But is that something we need to draw a permit on?
Typically, yes. Yes. Okay. I would have the electrician do it.
All right.
Does that make sense?
All right.
Yeah, I would let them handle the whole thing.
I was going to call Sterling Heights, but I figured since I had access to you guys, I'd see. So they'll go in and draw a permit to the hookup.
Yep, and it'll be okay. Part of the proposal, or they may have language in there that addresses, because each jurisdiction may charge, if it's not a state inspection or requirement, they may have their own fee attached to it. So it might just be a owner will fund it, even though the electrician's going to go get it and supply it.
Al, do you have an electrician that you use on a regular basis?
Well, I've used Bratcher before in the past, so probably would call them.
Okay. Yeah, great company.
So, yep.
Yeah, they did a whole house surge protector for me a couple years back.
Okay.
But after being without power for a day and a half, I figured it might not be a bad idea, at least because I do have access to the generator. But
just
rather
ask,
than
have you bought one?
I have just... not. I have access to one.
Okay.
And it's a good one. In fact, we hooked it up, but you know, without an external, we had extension cords going all over the place.
Sure.
And this way, I figured it would be much easier just to have a plug and be able to plug it in and start it up and go.
Big believers, if you're going to do it right. Yep.
Okay. All right. I appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
God bless you, Al. Thanks.
Take care, Al. Thanks for the phone call. We appreciate it.
Did you guys lose power at all?
Nope.
We knock on wood. We didn't either. We don't. We typically don't.
We don't either. Well, you're close to a main highway. We're close to a main highway, and everything's underground. So
the rare times we've lost it, someone's hit a pole.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Brought it down for 4 hours or 5 hours.
That happened to us a couple of years ago. Same thing. I think somebody was digging and they hit a line.
Yeah. I know. You realize how fortunate you are when you watch the news or go online or whatever and find out that 200,000 people lost power. It's like, oh, boy.
And that's when we start getting the emails about, you know, who should they contact to get a new standby generator, or when, like this gentleman just said. We had an email recently wanting to know what the best generator out there was, a portable generator out there was. And my response was, as much as Chuck and I love buying American, Honda
makes a great
product.
They do. Yeah. For portable standby, and you and I use it on the job, so we're slanted with our experience in the past, right?
Right, right.
And no question that they've improved those generators and the motors over time. So you're buying two components. You know, if you buy a portable standby, you're buying the motor, which should be a good one. You know, Briggs & Stratton makes a good one.
Yep.
Generac has a really good one they make. Honda, you and I, Kohler. Especially as you get into larger commercial, makes a great motor.
Sure.
And then you have the generator itself that's tied to that motor. And that's equally important. If that's not equally good, then it doesn't matter if the motor keeps running.
That's one thing I always liked about the Honda. They kind of have a default for bad employees who forget to change oils or put oils. If it gets low on oil, it shuts off.
Shuts
it doesn't
off.
Ruin the machine. It shuts off, which is a great feature.
They were one of the first ones to do that. And on a job site, that was critical because you might have it running for 8-10 hours straight.
You're right. You're right.
And even the best of motors are going to burn a little bit of oil over time.
Now they got some generators built right into some work vehicles. So you can literally plug right into your work vehicle, and that'll charge a lot of your...
I know. Equipment. I'd be afraid of that, but I know it's good technology, and I'm just afraid of it because it's new, you know. It's like if I get in my truck at the end of the day and it doesn't start, it's like, whoa.
I know. What happens when it doesn't start is I always go, that's your job. This is what you put here for. You're supposed to work.
Exactly.
It drives me crazy. Want to remind everybody real quick about the hail that received in northern Oakland, southern Genesee County a couple of days ago. If you were part of that, if your home is in that region, and I tell you what, insurance companies are great. If you say that you were in a hailstorm, they can tell you where that hailstorm was to the block almost. So if you weren't in it, you're not going to get any relief. But if you were in it and your roof took those impacts of that somewhat baseball and softball size hail, then you need to contact someone to come out and inspect your roof, because there's a very good chance you have some damage that you can't even see.
Well, you said something yesterday that I tend to agree with. Talk to someone like Kearns Brothers or Pro Home, Kanga, Victors, I mean, Performance. Talk to an expert first. Then take their recommendation for talking to your insurance salesperson or agent, whoever you work with.
I agree. Hey, stick around for another hour of the Inside Outside Guys featuring Clarkston Window and Door. In the meantime, Al just called from Sterling Heights. We have another great contractor over in the east side that we refer all the time for standby power and you name it, whether it's standby power. How about a new ceiling fan? You can't have enough ceiling fans.
Not in this weather.
You really can't. We love this company. They take care of a lot of our listeners. That company is Lake Point Electric.